Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 10 through 13 and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you, God, that you share your mysteries with us. You tell us your secrets, oh God. You tell your children, oh God. Lord, I just pray now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Be an Example in Purity and Love. And this is the exhortation that was given, written down by Paul regarding Timothy. So let's read verses 10 through 13. It reads, For this to the end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Praise God. Verse 13, till I come and give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, meaning to teaching. So let's read verse 10 once again. It says, For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach. What does it mean by that? That means if you're living right before God and the world, the unbelieving world, sees you living right before God, you will suffer reproach. In other words, they're going to mock you. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to call you goody-good-two-shoes. They're going, oh, here comes that Jesus freak. Come on. Oh, yeah. They will. Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. Every one of us here, we all believe in the Lord. Amen? Or you wouldn't be here. We all believe in God. We all believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our trust is in Him. So believers, hard at work, suffer much because of eternity. You see, the Bible says we're not of this world. Can I get amen? The Bible says we're pilgrims passing through. So here we are today, and then tomorrow we're gone. Boom, we're out of here. And God's going to take us home. And this is why we have the hope of glory living within us. We have a treasure from heaven living inside. This is why these prophetic events that are taking place, there's nothing to fear. Can I get an amen? Matter of fact, it appears that time is drawing closer, that we will be with the King soon. Listen, I know some of us have, God has blessed us with beautiful homes and families and everything, but it's for a moment. There's a day that's coming where we're not going to even turn and say goodbye. Man, we're going to just be with Jesus. All your sorrows, all your pains, all your heartache, everything is going to be vanished in a millisecond. And we're going to be changed and we're going to be like Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so eternity with God is not just hope for a possible occurrence. It is hope set on a certainty. Why? Because it is the hope in the living God, not on a philosophy. This is not about philosophy. This is not about humanism. This is about the hope of glory. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, who drew us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And we're here because we love God. We love the Lord. Hallelujah. But throughout Scripture, God is saying, because I have saved you, because I have blessed you, He is looking for you and I to be a light on a hill. Can I get an amen? And so there's certain behaviors, there's certain conducts, character, that God is looking for you and I to portray in this world the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, and that the unbelieving world will see a difference in you and I. Oh, yes. Look at Colossians 1:28. It says here, in him we what? We preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. We need to tell the unbelieving world and let them know the hope of glory that lies within us. It lays right there, the hope of glory. That we may present every man perfect, what? In Christ Jesus. And to this end, I also labor, striving to his working, which works in me mightily. This is why God has reminded me through his love, Pastor Fee, don't throw in the towel. I know your body gets tired. Sometimes you get mentally. Remember, we talked about storms last week. You know, sometimes those storms come in, and I'm in a fog, and I need you, Jesus. And I see it right here. To this end, Paul wrote down, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So it's not about me. It's not about my own strength. It's about the strength of God. It's about the Holy Spirit of God coming in. And now I allow him, have your way, God. Your will, not my will. Because if it's all about me, I'll crash and burn. Because I know my failures. I know I can mess it all up. But if I allow God, hallelujah, to come in and take reign, man, then I'm like in the back seat watching him do what he's doing. I would have never thought 28 years ago I'd be behind a pulpit. Matter of fact, I'd probably be dead by now before the legal dispensaries came around. Oh, yeah, I would have been done. Look at Titus 1:3. But has in due time manifested his word, what, through preaching? In other words, exhorting, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. You know what? We are now commanded to go out and be a light to tell others. Can I get amen? Even when they laugh at you, even when they go, man, get out of here with that. Because how many times have we do that to people? And yet God got a hold of us, didn't he? Yeah, he did. Because he had a better plan for us. How many are so blessed to know that his plan is better than the one we had? That old plan that I had, man, the soles of my shoes were falling off. His plan is much better. Look at Titus 2:7. In the next chapter, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. This is what God is asking us. Just show good works to your neighbor, your friend, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle. Man, an awesome thing happened yesterday. I saw on Facebook, I'm really somewhat close to one of my mom's sisters, my aunt Estella, and we love, she's almost, I think maybe she's 72. And she goes everywhere. Her husband died, my uncle died, and she's, you know, a widow. And she just goes out and goes to restaurants and all this. But her brother, my Uncle Victor, his wife, Henrietta, she's only 67. And I saw on Facebook that they sent her home to die. 67. Her blood sugar was 750. She was in a comatose state. And I know God is sovereign. We know that God can heal and deliver. And then God says, no, I'm going to take this one home. We've seen this time and time played out. So yesterday, me and Brother Felipe, and by the way, Preach is still in town because his mom is 90, and she's going through right now. We don't know when her days are going to be over. But I went to my cousin Rachel's home, and all Cervantes's were there, my mom's side of the family. And me and Brother Felipe had an opportunity to pray for, there was about 15, 16 cousins and uncles and aunts in there. Every one of them individually, we got to lay hands and pray for them and watch just God do something in their hearts. And it was amazing. Because right after we prayed for her, when we walked out, within 30 minutes, she gone on to be with Jesus. Wow. It was like, what? Uh-huh. God waited for us to go pray with her. Man, I'm telling you, man, only God could set up something like that. We went and prayed for her, and 30 minutes later, she took a last breath. She went on to glory. Thank you, God. In Titus 2:7, it says, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. And that's what we wanted. We wanted to go and demonstrate the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Your family's mourning or about ready to go into mourning, man, go and be a blessing to them. Can I get an amen? That's the good works that God is looking for. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned. When love comes out of your mouth and goodness kind of, you know, it comes forth, there's no one that can condemn you for the love of God that's coming out. They can't. That one is an opponent, may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. They can't. When you're walking in God's grace, no one can lay anything upon you. Can I get an amen? Because God will cover you, God will bless you, and God will even blind their eyes. Hallelujah. And God covers us up mightily. Why? Because we are His. Look at verse 9. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their masters and be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity that may be adorned the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. So God is exhorting us tonight to live the life the fullest. Did you know that before you got saved, we couldn't live like this because we were bound to our sin? We didn't know how to do good. In other words, good in the sight of the Lord. The righteous things of God. We couldn't. We were bound to our sin. When Jesus came, He set us free. So He set us free now to do good works unto Him. Isn't that a blessing to know? And to be reminded that God, we serve a mighty God, a good God. And then He also says, in the next chapter of Titus, look at this. He says this, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, in other words, before Jesus came, the whole world was in a state of sin. Our Jewish counterparts, our friends, they would carry bulls and bullocks and turtle doves, and it was a temporary cleansing. But inside, there was nothing that has changed. But when Jesus came, He changed everything. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. His blood came and it erased our sin. He took away the condemnation. He took away the guilt and the shame. Hallelujah. Now we can stand before a holy God. Hallelujah. And say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Because He's a mighty God. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. We had nothing to do with it. God did it all. Hallelujah. Come on, before we came to Christ, we had stinking thinking. And then God had a, man, do a mighty work. Huh? Come on, how many times, man, did we used to, back in the day, I'm talking BC years, bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ would come out. Okay, that wasn't you guys, huh? That was just me. Look at this. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. He had mercy on us. Me and my brother were talking about that earlier. We've been chosen. We've been elected, huh, brother? Come on. There's nothing we did. Come on. We were reminiscing, talking about, man, back in the day, man, when we was just running the streets. And now my brother is riding the bus on Sunday to pick up saints to come to church. Man, how does that work? Only God can do that. Only God can do that. Only God can change a callous heart and make it a heart of gold, of flesh, and make it right before God. Only He can do that. My goodness. Thank you. But according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you so blessed? Saints, Paul attached the role of Savior to God because he's not only our Lord, but he's our Savior. So Jesus is Lord, meaning Lord of all. He's the Master. He's the Creator. He is God all by himself, and he's also our Savior. So in other words, he stepped into our realm and came into a world of darkness. And then he went looking for you and I. Brother Felipe said he went dumpster diving for us. He came and sought us out. We weren't coming to him. The Bible's clear in the book of Romans. There is none that seeks after God. No, not one. So here we're doing our own thing, man. We're out there, man, you know, just running it. And here comes God. Bam. I've appointed this day that your heart will turn to me. Man, if he didn't quicken us, we're not going nowhere. He made the initiative. He came to us and interrupted our life. And thank you, God, for the interruption. Thank you, God, because I was headed to a road of destruction. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. I was headed to a road of destruction. And God came and saved us. Christ is the Savior of all people in the sense that his work on the cross was sufficient to provide salvation for everyone. Oh, yes. But it is particularly for those who believe, because salvation becomes effective on only of those say, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As soon as we said yes to his invitation, bam, the blood was applied. Bam, the Spirit came. Bam, hallelujah. And then, as the years have progressed, he is sanctifying us. He's setting us apart. He's doing the work. And it's through the preaching of the word. It's about the teaching of the word. So the power, the Spirit and the word come together like a glove. You got to have the power of God, and you have to have the word of God. Can I get an amen? So let's go now to verse 11 in 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, these things command and teach. What we're just sharing right now. Teach these things to your children. Teach these things to your husband and to your wife, to your parents. Teach these things. You know what? One of the things that I'm very thankful is that when God saved me, my parents weren't saved. So God saved me to go back to them. Mom, Dad. And I remember my dad. I remember the first time I told him that God saved me, Dad. Man, I was ridiculed by him. Instead of saying, oh, son, I'm so glad. In his own words, I will not go to your church. I'm a Catholic. I will die Catholic. Those were his words, man. I didn't even get a chance to say, man, guess what happened, man? You know, a custodian led me to the Lord, and I have $500 of crystal meth in my. I didn't even get a chance. He just told me straight out, that's good for you, but I'm a Catholic. I will die a Catholic. I said, okay, God. I guess that was my first test. You either roll with it or you get mad. I didn't know what to do. Oh. But as a year went on, my brother Dell told my dad, hey, Pastor Leo's going to let Fee preach on a Wednesday night. And we used to meet at the United Methodist Church right across from Sayals off of Mission Valley, that big old church. 3,000 people at Mission Valley, and on Wednesday night, at least 500 came out. And when they heard that Pastor Leo asked me to come and teach, they all wanted to come out to see what does this guy have? What's he all about? They came out. And man, when I came up behind the pulpit, my eyes were like deer stuck in a light. Headlights, man. I was like, ugh. If you go to our website, I have that first teaching. It's still there. It's called Take Ye Away the Stone. And Pastor Leo allowed me to teach, I believe, 4 or 5 messages. But that first message, I gave an altar call. And I looked, and I saw way in the back, my dad was there. He came walking up with my brother, and I beelined to him. I didn't care about who, and they were coming to the altar, man. Oh, ask Yolanda, they were coming to the altar. People were weeping, man, and it was like, what? This was just a simple message. Why are they all weeping? I had no clue what was going on. But I saw my dad, and I beelined to him. I said, Dad, I'm so glad you came. What do you need from the Lord? He had tears coming down. He said, I want to be saved. He just turned 79. Right now he's 92. And that following Friday, because we had a home fellowship like Brother G has, and he was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God saved my dad. I'm telling you, God will do these miraculous things in the midst of us. And all we have to do is apply the scripture to our life. Can I get an amen? And have the power of God. And not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. And so Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Why? Because it says right here, we're gonna see this in the next chapter. All scripture is breathed out of by God and profitable for what? Teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So when you're living holy and righteous before God, He will do the miraculous, man. He will bring those that you thought would never come. And you're going to go, oh my gosh. And then God will remind you, you're not doing it, I am. He'll keep your heart humble. Let's go to verse 12 in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in the word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. This is what God wants to do in our lives, and this is what He's doing in your life. You know, you're not the same. I hope you know that you're not the same that you once were a year ago. And then go back 2 years. Then go back 3 years. Look at your life right now. God is transforming you. He's raising you up. He's got you. Hallelujah. We're like clay on a potter's wheel. And He's molding us. He's shaping us. He's whacking this off. He's taking that out. Hallelujah. And then He's sculpting you into a beautiful person that how He sees you. Hallelujah. Don't ever receive condemnation from the devil or people that will talk bad about you. Say, man, you know what? I'm a child of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am heaven bound. Hallelujah. God has saved me. Hallelujah. From going into a pit. Hallelujah. God interrupted my life and He saved me. Hallelujah. You start prophesying and professing what God has done. And you watch God do something miraculously in their life. Because they can't deny the power of God in your life. They know there's a real God. They know you're not the same. They know you don't do and chew like you used to do. They know. And they need us. I hope you know that they really need us. And we're not to walk above them. We are to actually get on our knees and pray for them. Oh, God. Perry Stone had a great teaching. And in 2018, 5778, there's a Hebrew letter that's right in 2018. And guess what that symbol looks like? Because he said that God is going to do a revival during the midst of these storms. And that thing looks like this. It looks like someone that's on their knees and their hands lifted up like this. And he said, just stay humble before God, and God is going to start saving. God is going to start, man, he's going to start growing you in the Lord. You're going to see people getting saved that you've been praying for. Why? Because this is the year. In the midst of turmoil, God's going to pour out, hallelujah, abundance of grace on the church. You got to believe that. You got to believe that even though the devil's at work, God is at work, hallelujah. And his work is to save souls. Can I get an amen? Save souls. And so, there's an explanation why Paul told Timothy is, number one, is what you teach. What are you teaching? Our words create impressions that either facilitate or complicate all other communication. Timothy was to teach with gentle authority while avoiding useless or argumentative conversations. Man, if that conversation, I've learned, man, walk away from a heated discussion. Man, you know why? It could lead you into misery. My former pastor, he shared with us, you can be so right and be dead wrong. You know why? You're trying to make a point how right you are, and then you lose that person. And now you were dead wrong for trying to prove a right. Sometimes you just have to walk in humility. God's teaching me. And none of us perfect in here, amen? We got to walk in humility, man. We have to right all of our wrongs. Go back, man, and tell someone, I'm sorry. Go back and say, man, I shouldn't have said that to you. God taught me, man. God spoke to me on the first night of our four nights of prayer. He had to kick down many things. Heart of callous, heart of pride. He had to kick it out of the way. If I'm going to use you, I can't have you being a prideful person. You got to walk in humility. I say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. We got to walk in humility. So in other words, you have to live what you teach. Live what you preach. Can I get amen? Amen. Number two, the way you live. The way you live. Are you living holy before God? Our lifestyle as well as our specific behaviors must be consistent with the gospel. Timothy was to conduct himself as a representative of Jesus Christ, even in the details of daily living. Can I get an amen? And then number three, we have to walk in love. We got to walk in love, man. I'm telling you, there's people that are going to say things that are nasty. They're going to conjure up lies. They're going to say things to other people about you, and they're not true. But you know what the Bible says? Love covers a multitude of sins. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Oh, yes. Love covers a multitude of sin. When we say the right words and live the right way, but lack love, we are demonstrating a legalistic view of God's expectations. After our words and actions have had their say, in other words, the things we say, love makes the message ring true or false. It's got to be about love. Can I get an amen? Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. When I was putting this Bible study together. Hallelujah. We're almost done. My watch died. It's still 6:25. I said, come on, man. I knew I started about, okay. I got to get a battery tomorrow. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Did you catch that? Look at verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, And though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Does not have rudely. It doesn't behave rudely. In other words, man, if you're walking around like you had prune juice and sucking all day long on a saladito, what kind of love is that being demonstrated? Or do you just spit it out? Get out of my face. Love does not behave rudely, nor does it seek its own. It's not provoked. Love doesn't think evil. It's like oil and water. You try to mix it and it separates right away, right? Love will never be evil. I saw today an evil man on TV. I said, what? This man that was training these little girls. Over 150 of them. This pervert molested them. Man, he deserves 175 years they gave him. Lord have mercy. I heard everything that the judge said. Man, you had time to repent and you didn't. Man. Look at verse 6. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. There's no love in that. He got what he deserved because there was no love in that. He wasn't caring for these little babies that are trying to be gymnasts. He went in there and thought he could get away with that. But love rejoices in the truth. Can I get an amen? Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Can I get amen? Never fails. And when I see you guys, I see the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God upon your life. Because that's what I want to see. There's always the other side of our heart that always wants to look for the worst. Man, I've learned, God, help me look for the best. Raise them up. Be good to them. Love them. Encourage them. Timothy was also taught by Paul to have faith. Sooner or later, people around us will need to understand what motivates our speech, our life, and our love. Genuine combination of the above will present to others a way of life filled with hope. Don't you want your friends and family members to know that you're filled with hope? So when you come and give them a word, man, you're going to watch them grow. You're going to watch them say, man, you know what? You're right. I want to give my heart to God. Faith finally speaks clearly when speech, life, and love have created a hearing for them to hear. That way God will give them ears to hear and eyes to see. Also, he taught them purity, living purity. Did you know this Sunday morning, by the grace of God, you know our wonderful family that comes here, Josie and Brian, they have, I think, 4 kids. Well, their daughter, her name is Maui. This Sunday morning, mom and dad is going to present her with a purity ring. And we're going to pray over them. And they're declaring that my daughter is becoming a woman and that she's going to make a vow to Christ that she will live pure before God. And no man will touch her unless it's her husband. Can I get an amen? And so I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to watch God working mightily in that life, the life of their family. Paul ended this list with rarely used term for virtue and chastity. And he used it here for the word implies integrity and consistency and reinforces the entire list. And so we close in this verse here. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Next week, we'll close out this chapter. But saints, Paul hoped to visit Timothy and believers in Ephesus soon. Besides carefully observing the private life to keep it above reproach, Timothy was also to give attention and preparation to his public ministry in three main areas, which are then described. Let me just say this. All Timothy knew, you got to remember, when this letter was being written, the New Testament hasn't been established yet. They were just writing out. And then all the letters were collected, all the books were collected. And then later on, hundreds of years later, then the New Testament was born. Okay, but during this time, all Timothy knew was the Old Testament. That was written, the Old Testament. We're going to go through these and then we close. Number one, this is what he knew. He took the book of the covenant, Moses did, and read in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said will do, be obedient. Let's go to the next one. In Deuteronomy, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. You see, that's all they knew was the Old Testament. So the Old Testament was ingrained in them because the new one wasn't written yet. Next one right here. It says in Joshua 8:35, there was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read. Notice, they read before the congregation. This is what I love about Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, because God has allowed me to read the scriptures to you. It hasn't changed. This is God's way. This is God's pattern, is that we would hear the word and that we would grow in faith, that we would live the life that God has called us to live. And so this is the pattern that Timothy was receiving from Paul, because all the Old Testament was only written, and it's played out till this day. God has raised up pastors throughout the world, raising up men and women like you, using pastors to exhort, to raise up, to lift up, to bless. Let's go to the next one. In the book of Kings, the king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he what? Read in their hearing of all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. This is a consistent pattern, and it's not extinct. Can I get an amen? We are not conducting in an extinct religion. Can I get an amen? We got a relationship with the Most High God. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is with us. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And then when the New Testament was established, because we just read scriptures in the old, and there's much more. For time's sake, look at this right up here. This is Jesus when he was 40 days and 40 nights fasting in the desert. Hallelujah. After he got baptized, after the Holy Ghost fell on him, the dove and his father speaking to him, he went straight to the wilderness, right? So look what he did. He established now the New Testament in the same pattern of the old one. Nothing's changed. Look at this. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to what? To read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. There was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John yet. There was no Timothy yet. There was none of that. So they gave him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And we all know what was written there. The Spirit of God is upon me. Hallelujah. He has anointed me to preach the word to the brokenhearted, to those who needed God, to those who are lost. Did you know that Jesus came to save us because we were lost? And so I want to close in prayer. We got more up here, but I don't want to go too. I went because I needed to share that prophetic update. But let's pray and ask God just to bless. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, God, for the things that you share with us. We thank you, God, for the things that are approaching, but God, you did not give us a spirit of fear, but you've given us a spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. And we can rejoice and know, Lord, that you are coming soon. You are the soon coming King. And we can't wait. We can't wait to see you face to face. Lord, we're all going to fall at your feet and say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We love you, God. I'm praying for whoever's listening to this message right now. However way it got to you, you are listening to this message because God has ordained it. And if you're listening and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, pray with us right now. And that'll be your first step of faith to believe that God died for you. He came to save you. And all you have to do is turn to him with a heart of repentance and ask God to forgive you of all your sins. So we're going to pray with you right now. It's a simple prayer, but truly repent in your heart. Turn to the living God and watch him do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to serve you and to follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give God praise and glory in the house. Come on, give him praise.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.